We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for Mark James, Andy Hart. It's James and Hart on Sports Radio WEEI.
Investigation. We are presenting the public and the national and international community. So, with the validation of evidence, with the facts. In this sense, we are going to inform formally that the objective of this attack was not David Ortiz. It was another person who was at the same location and in the same table and just by coincidence was wearing the same type of clothing of the baseball playing the night of this attack.
So we all knew, and thanks for listening to Mark and Hart here live from Fenway Park in the WEI 4 Clubhouse studio. We all knew that this investigation would probably not be on the up and up, and it just got verified there by the translator, which was a complete, total bleep show, and something that, for me, it's like, are you kidding me? Now, we have sound, John Anderson, from Seth Everett, who went on Fox Sports Radio and had some words that when he talked about David Ortiz and perhaps his associations throughout his career. Here's what Seth Everett had to say about Big Poppy.
David Ortiz, in his playing career, had a friend who had three aliases and was wanted by the FBI for a drug trafficking ring and a illegal gambling ring. And David Ortiz, in 2006, threatened to pull out of the Home Run Derby unless his friend could get on the field. And Rob Manfred knew what they had uncovered about this guy and said, get him on the field. Then, when he was arrested at an FBI raid at David Ortiz's house that never was publicized, Theo Epstein called the guest I had on my Sports with Friend podcast, Andy Dominguez, and said, I thought we were friends. How are you? I'm trying to get David Ortiz signed to a contract. What are you doing? I'll give you one other story from the podcast, just as a little teaser. When Aaron Hernandez was convicted of his first murder, MLB sent a bunch of security agents to talk to all 30 teams, and they went to the Red Sox. The Red Sox brought one of the Aaron Hernandez detectives to the Red Sox camp to address them. David Ortiz was sitting in the front row, and all they talked about was association and who you're associated with. Anyone who knows anything about the way David Ortiz lives his life is not surprised that somebody tried to kill him.
Wow.
Wow.
That's pretty damning. And that guy sounded like he knew what he was talking about.
No question.
I mean, listen, you know, there's a street not far from where we are right now that's named after David Ortiz, justifiably so. He's not better than Tom Brady. Some people make an argument he could be more beloved because he's somewhat who's always in the community. He's, you know, very approachable. He was living here for a long until he moved his family down to Miami. And you could make the argument that maybe he is more beloved than Tom Brady, but Tom Brady doesn't associate with people who are being looked at and investigated by the FBI.
Well, that's not totally true because Alex Guerrero has had his issues in the past.
But
in a different way.
But like FBI?
Right. But I will say it is important. I agree you have to be careful when you reach certain levels of the company you keep. But we also, none of those stories involved Ortiz guilt. Ortiz doing, you know, Aaron Hernandez didn't get in trouble because of the company he kept. He got in trouble because he killed someone, right?
You crossed a line there.
Yeah. It's not like he was along for the ride and holy crap, what just happened? Right. He was an active participant in a lot of these things that were going wrong.
If not the shooter himself.
Right. So David Ortiz can have questionable associations. Let's be honest. He comes from an island where inherently you may have some questionable associations, correct?
Oh, yeah.
So we need to be careful. Just because he was running with some people that were out of whack in Major League Baseball, and he befriends them, and that's a tough thing to do. We talked about it in the Aaron Hernandez time. Like, you know, you have these guys that you grow up with forever, and to just cut ties with them and disassociate with people that have, quote-unquote, had your back or stood up, it's tough to do. And yet it's the smart thing to do. And by the way, it can get you in trouble. Because if you cut ties with the wrong person, now you're an outsider and they're coming for you. They're no longer your ally. They're coming for you.
Well, and I'm glad you brought that up, because I'll bring this up. A guy who I absolutely have the utmost affinity for, but Ray Lewis was involved in a situation at the Super Bowl in Atlanta where he was part of like you said, along for the ride or whatever, where somebody killed two people.
Right.
Okay, and then Ray Lewis had to eventually disassociate himself. Credit to Rod Woodson and Shannon Sharp, who said, Ray, you're right here at a crossroads. You're going to go here or you're going to go there. He zigged instead of zagged. He ended up becoming, you know, NFL Defensive Player of the Year. He ended up becoming on the front cover of Madden eventually. He ended up becoming a face of the NFL. And all, we know the story.
Right.
But yes. So I'm not saying that, you know, but David Ortiz, obviously, let's just be real, he's not this majestic figure that is depicted upon by the Boston media.
And on a lot of levels. He's not the teddy bear
that
I think everybody wants him to be. The big smile.
No.
Embrace him. Go hug him. I mean, there's multiple layers to what his sort of resume, or it's, you know, there's the infidelity or the girlfriend and the drug. There's that level.
And he's not the first or last professional athlete.
But it flies in the face of,
yes,
you know, this is,
right,
you know, if a family sees David Ortiz on the street, everybody wants to hug him. The father wants to hug him because he brought him some of the greatest sports memories of his life.
Yep.
The kids want to hug him because he's this big smile. He might as well be Wally. He might as well
he
be
really
a
mouth. He really is.
The wife wants to hug him.
Wally.
Right. And the wife wants to hug him, and she's not thinking, I want to sleep with him. He's this, like, they all want to hug him for different reasons.
Right.
And now I think you're finding out he's not quite what that image that you had in your mind was of David Ortiz. And that's fine. He's not, he's also not quite, you know, Tiger Woods yet, or Lance Armstrong, to that degree of where the image and the hero is shattered. He's somewhere in the middle right now, but certainly the image is being changed for a lot of people. The more comes out of the story. But the biggest issue, you said, you know, what a joke, fiction, all these things from coming out of Dominican with the investigation. It works. There are people, and I can tell you, you know, you go down to the Little League field, and, oh, did you hear? It wasn't Ortiz they were trying to get. And they take it at face value because they read it on Twitter in 140 characters, you know, Dominican Republic official, Ortiz not the target, and they move on.
That's it.
They're not digging any deeper.
No,
they
no,
move on.
No.
So perception is reality for a portion of the population.
If anybody out there believes that David Ortiz is not the intended target, you are naive and gullible.
Well, but you might want to.
Well,
you might want to believe it because he is your teddy bear, your David Ortiz, legendary, clutch, lovable.
But this
is my city.
Yeah, but the one thing, he is one of the most distinguishable looking individuals that it'd be pretty tough to mistake in him for somebody else. That's the thing. And I thought the whole, now this thing, it's obviously, I don't know if the Dominican Republic's trying to save face because they don't want to know that, you know, someone would take a shot at assassinating their country's favorite son, but it feels dirty. This whole thing feels dirty. It feels like there's a cover up, and it's like, I don't know if we'll ever get to the total truth on this because I don't know what to believe anymore. I know one thing. I know one thing I will be willing to bet on. In my true belief that David Ortiz was indeed the intended target. They knew who they were going after. And I don't care what some attorney general from the Dominican Republic's trying to paint some picture that is completely, totally fictitious. 617-779-7937. Your thoughts on that? Is there anything that you, did you buy anything there that the Dominican Republic attorney general was trying to sell on the David Ortiz thing? Because I haven't talked to, did show on Thursday night for 4 hours. Everybody thought it was a joke. Even Wednesday night after the press conference, everybody thought it was a joke. Maybe there's someone out there who's the lone wolf that actually believes this attorney general. I don't see how you could. He was the intended target. Why? Well, there's certain different reports. The one thing about the Daily Mail, say what you want about them. They're not trying to cover up for anybody. They're just trying to report the news.
Right. And they'll run. Now, the other side is they'll run with whatever they get.
Because
they're a little over aggressive.
Right.
They're also right a lot.
They are very
much. They also are ahead of
traditional. Say what you want about TMZ. TMZ's right a lot.
Correct. They are ahead of traditional media. And I will say the one other thing is, how far does this... Because this feels like a PR promotion out of the Dominican. At some point, I think it has to come stateside, right?
Right.
When Ortiz is healthy, he and his wife Tiffany are probably going to do some sort of sit down, whether it's ESPN or Oprah. Or,
that's just it. We haven't heard from David Ortiz himself.
You will, though. The next step is the sit down and the tears and the, you know, what happened. And there is another step to this whole PR spin.
Yeah.
And people will buy it. Yeah. I guarantee. If you put it on with Oprah, or I don't even know who the latest, who you do these sit downs with now, the sort of the
Jeremy Schapp.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where you sit
Dr.
down.
Dr. Phil. Who knows?
You know, those old Sunday
Oprah
night conversations,
sure.
Right?
Yep.
That's coming.
Gail
at
King.
At some point. Right.
Yeah.
That is coming at some point. Because that's the hard press. That's the full sell.
Yep. Your thoughts on David Ortiz, 617-779-7937. Have you lost any respect for David Ortiz from this whole situation as well? Your Celtics calls, 617-779-7937. Thanks for holding. Sean is in the great state of Idaho. What's up, Sean?
Hello, and good afternoon there, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call.
Is it good morning to you still? I know that, in Idaho.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. It's 9:13 a.m., which is 12:13 p.m. out there in the fabulous city of Boston, Massachusetts.
You eat a potato?
Things I want to touch on.
You have potatoes for breakfast there? Hash browns, something like that?
By the way, Sean.
Yeah, okay, well, yeah.
The most famous person, well, not the most famous, but definitely the most aesthetically pleasing to the eye, Tori Wilson is from Idaho. I hope you embrace Tori.
Oh.
Yes.
I wouldn't mind embracing Tori.
Yes, of course. Well, anyway, I will always, of course, a couple things to touch on. I'll always have respect for David Ortiz. Look, he's not perfect. He made a mistake, but I do believe he was the intended target. And I'm going to touch on the Red Sox real quickly. This team is coming around. This team is playing great, 8-1 in the last 9 games. I do not rule out the AL East. I think they still have a shot. There's still a lot of baseball left to be played. And the saying goes, it's not over until the last man is out. And then for the Boston Celtics, Kyrie, if you know, for you to act like this, just get out. I'm just so sick of your stinking behavior because apparently, you know, Boston fans, like you said, we embrace this guy. We were thrilled when he came here in August of 2017. But apparently now you have lost my respect and everybody's respect. And whatever team you go to, Kyrie, you're going to be booed every time you come back to Boston. You will be the most disliked athlete. And I'll say this too. We know now that Kyrie was a bust, along with Carl Crawford. Let's not forget when he was a bust.
Yep.
And also Pablo Sandoval. Ramirez. Manny Ramirez was not a bust. I mean, it was disappointing with his attitude, but he's made peace with the city of Boston.
Yeah,
I mean,
yes,
remember when he came there in April? Yeah, he's kind of like said, I love the city of Boston. I take back a lot of things. I forgive you, Manny. Of course, anybody would.
But the thing is, Sean, good phone call. The thing is this, is that, you know, the people here, Andy, were willing to just sort of roll out the green carpet for Kyrie Irving and put
you cracked
him,
yourself up there, didn't you? There was a little laugh. You're so proud of yourself.
Just a little.
You national radio guys are so witty. The green carpet.
But we were willing to say, okay, like now, Kyrie, you are to the Celtics, even though you haven't accomplished anything the way this guy, but you are.
There's no doubt.
You're to the point.
You can't say that.
Okay.
Somebody in my ear just said you can't say that.
I know.
You can't say that. I thought you were a national radio guy. Well, shouldn't you know the FCC rules?
Okay, he's got to be a miserable
dink.
Effing bag. I can say that. Bag. D-bag. We can say that.
Are you sure?
I promise you on that one. We can say that. You just can't say both together. But yes, he's a miserable effing bag. The fact that you would completely just turn your back and you hated living in Boston as opposed to Cleveland?
Right.
Like Cleveland, which is the mistake by the lake? So you liked it there, but you hated it here? Why?
Yeah, I've never understood that. And this whole affinity for these guys with New York and L.A. and the modern culture where social media drives everything. Social media really drives almost everything. And you can be active on social media wherever you go. And the lifestyle these guys live, you're going to have a nice car and a nice condo or a nice apartment wherever you go. It's not like, you know, you're Joe Average and you're scrapping together and you can't afford to get an apartment in San Francisco because you're priced out. Wherever you go, you're going to have the same fine things in life. Now, I understand nightlife is different. There is nightlife that's different in Miami than Boston and L.A. Is that really that big a deal?
After a while, nah, you'd like to think no. I mean, maybe you want to build, maybe you want to be, all right, fine. He's from Newark, New Jersey. He grew up there. Being in Brooklyn or being in Manhattan with the Knicks, it looks like Brooklyn. But being in New York City, one of the five boroughs, fine. But you're going to find out, like the NBA, like you're in Boston. You're in Boston. Aaron Rodgers is in the smallest media market in the NFL. This guy gets more like commercials than any player in the league.
Right. If only State Farm could have found him. You know, he would have had great commercials, but he was in Green Bay. How are you going to get found? Or Peyton Manning. He was in Indy. I mean, if only they had found him over the years through commercials, we would know who Peyton Manning was and how good he was. It's so ridiculous in this bit. The one thing I will say is Kevin Durant. If you've read anything about him when he got to the Oakland area, the Bay Area, he has really embraced sort of the venture capital culture.
Sure,
now,
right.
There are things like that where certain
Durant
cities,
sucks.
They can offer certain things. But in general, you're in a major city because guess what? That's where the NBA plays, in major cities for the most part.
Yeah.
You can do whatever you want. You're going to have $150, $200 million in your pocket. You can fly anywhere, live anywhere you want in the offseason. I've just never understood, oh, Boston, I don't want to go play in Boston. Why? Because there's too much rich history? Because the fans will fill out the garden and cheer for you too loud on a nightly basis?
What, did the city win too many titles over the last 19 years?
Right.
And 12 should have been. Right.
They'll support you too much. They might actually care about you and your existence and your winning.
Yeah.
He just clearly didn't fit, and we've gone down the list. Like the last caller brought up Crawford and these guys for whatever reason, their mentality. And I will say, if that's true, then go, just go. But I don't think that's why you left Cleveland. I think it's a Kyrie problem. It's not
the
city or the team. It's Kyrie figuring out who the hell he is, what makes him comfortable. And my guess is the answer is a very little nothing.
Nothing. That's it. He's miserable. He's a cancer. He's the cancer.
Can I tell a little story?
Yeah.
I don't know if I should tell this or not, but last year, you know, I worked for the Patriots, and you know how these organizations work, the charitable, they buy tables and tickets to each other's events, and then employee, hey, you want to go to this thing? So we had tickets to whatever the Celtics kickoff gala through the Patriots. Somebody was like, hey, you want these? I said, no, but I'm sure my wife and son, my son's 12, Kyrie, like, you know, heart of his sports loving career, he'd love to go rub elbows with them. They got dressed up. They went. Everybody there could not have been nicer. He took photos, shook hands with Brad, Steve, whoever you want to listen.
Tatum, why do I have a feeling I know this is going?
And to close out the night early on, they had already gotten everybody, and they just wanted to get who?
Kyrie
right? So now I got everybody. I went to this event. I got photos with everybody.
Why do you think that? Because I'm here.
My wife starts to walk towards him in an area where he's sitting down. Now, this is their biggest charity event of the year, and he is sitting there, and two guards immediately stand between her and him, and she's like, are you keeping me from him? Well, Kyrie needs some time right now. He needs to relax a little bit. He needs some. No. You're working right now. As a $25 million member of the Boston Celtics, this is part of your job, right? Their charitable foundation to help raise money. He wouldn't just say hello to a kid at an event where people paid a lot of money to come to, right? And to me, that should have been a red flag of sort of what he's about, who he is. Because I'm not saying he's out to dinner, he doesn't have the right, but that's sort of a team event. Like, you're already at a charity event. And that's a red flag to me of who he is. And it's a bad look. And the fact that he didn't care that it's a bad look, that like he's clearly used to that or putting out that persona. Just, and I'm not saying he probably does great things charitable wise.
Right.
I'm not saying he's always a dink.
But this anecdotal story.
But just sort of lazy.
Did your son get to meet him or no?
He later, I think, got a quick scribble, but not the way the others did. Because they're on. You know, like, have you ever seen Gronk or even Brady when they're at these things? They understand. They're on.
Yeah.
They're performers right now.
I saw Gronk at Game 7 last week. Listen, he can't walk 2 feet without someone wanting a selfie. You talk about a teddy bear.
He's the best, by the way.
He's the most approachable guy you could ever. He's like, yeah, sure, he's smiling with everybody, doesn't care. Gronk is just
probably unfair to bring him up because he is at a level that most people can't. I would be so annoyed half the time with, like, you think you'd be good with it and then you realize it's just over and over and over again. So he's not, but just be Joe Average.
That's
athlete.
It
just, you know, treat people well. And the more we hear these stories, the Jackie McMullen thing, I've been told this from a lot of people, he didn't like Boston, he didn't like Brad, he didn't like Danny, what does he like? He doesn't like charity events where people might come up to him and look for an autograph or a photo. He doesn't like playing with a superstar who's going to get the credit and the ball. He doesn't like playing with younger players who he now has to lead, and he doesn't know how to lead them, so he has to call LeBron and ask how to lead
him. I had to call Bron.
Yeah, you had to call Bron. Now who are you going to call? Or are you going to crawl? By the way, I do kind of like the storyline of him having to crawl back to Bron.
I'm kind of rooting for that. Hey, how about this one, which is one of the things that came out this week, where Doug Gottlieb was filling in for Colin Cowherd.
On a national radio show?
Yeah, on the Herd. And one morning during the season, you know, Brad Stevens comes into Red Auerbach Center and, you know, getting ready for another day. You know, hey, good morning, Brad. Good morning, Coach. Hey. Walks into a room and says, hey, Kyrie, good morning to you. And Kyrie said to Brad Stevens, quote, what does government mean to you? And it, without good morning, without, and you're just like, you're that guy.
Cuckoo.
Like, you are like, Brad Stevens just got to say, what the F am I doing here? Like, why am I in the NBA?
Oh, if you're very much woke.
Can I go back to Butler? I know Greg Doyle said to me that IU, Indiana University, the home of the Celtics' first-round pick, Romeo Langford, there's a blank check waiting for Brad Stevens with his name on it to go back and restore glory to the Hoosier, the once-proud Hoosier basketball program. He had to be saying to himself at that moment, what the F am I doing? What? Just imagine, like, could you imagine Belichick walking into a room? You got Patriots. Belichick walking into a room and Tom Brady saying, you know, good morning, Tom. And Tom saying, what does government mean to you? What would Belichick's reaction be?
I have no idea, but you know what I think it would be? The right one. Like, hasn't he proved, I brought that up earlier. Like, I don't know what he would do,
right?
But my gut instincts tells me whatever he would do would be right, whereas everyone else is trying to figure out how to coach this guy. Because give Bill the credit.
Yeah.
He's dealt with Aaron Hernandez. He has dealt with Josh Gordon. He's dealt with Corey Dillon or Randy Moss. He's found a way. I bet you those guys have said weird things to him, right?
Yeah, I bet you
he has stories like that. But if it were me, I'd turn around and walk out. I'd be like,
right.
Like, I don't have a response, so I am not going to dignify that with a response.
Yeah.
You're not even being a human being if you do that. You're being, trying too hard, I think,
yeah,
to be cuckoo.
Yeah, just imagine, though, just think about this for a second. Just sort of suspend disbelief and imagine, not just Tom Brady, any player, like Belichick walks in a room in the morning and then saying, what does government mean to you? Dude, you are that bag.
He'd probably give him the throw-up face. You know the face you get in the press conference when he hates you for that moment in time?
Yeah, the Volin reaction.
Yes. He would probably get that throw-up face where it looks like Bill wants to throw up all over you and grunt and walk away. And that's probably the right thing, by the way. Just grunt and walk away.
All right, 617-779-7937. The David Ortiz situation's on the table. The Celtics, what are they going to do next Sunday night at 6 p.m.? How is their franchise in this state of disarray? That's on the table. We'll get to Nick Caserio. And I ask you, listeners out there, if you want to answer this question, what does government mean to you? But first, we go trending.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Back to James and Hart on Boston Sports Station, WEEI.
It seems like the narrative has almost flipped a little bit for the Celtics very quickly from them being like, hey, this is the team that's going to win the Eastern Conference. Look out, Danny Ainge is so great. The way they handled the Isaiah Thomas situation, you know, you talked about the fact before during our conversation about missing out on Kawhi Leonard, missing out on Paul George, you know, hearing Terry Rozier literally come on this show and go on First Take and talk about, I want to be the guy, I want to feel appreciated, the Kyrie Irving situation. It talks about maybe how that franchise handles, you know, that climate.
And also missing out on Anthony Davis when everybody understands that you have the assets to get it done. missing out on Kawhi Leonard.
Yes.
But he had an opportunity to acquire him and Paul George.
Butler. We can go on and on.
That's what I'm saying.
How did the Celtics go from being the team of the future to the team of the past without ever having a present? Like, I mean, that seems to be what happened here.
I asked that question, too. Literally, the Celtics were like, we thought that this team was going to have sort of a monopoly of the Eastern Conference for at least 5 years. And all of a sudden now it's like, they're like the seven seed right now. Now that could change. That could change. If Danny Ainge listens to me, and
then he has a lot of problems, and I have no faith in him.
Right.
This will be a vote of non-confidence from Andy Hart if Ainge is listening to you.
Yes. It goes after Kristaps Porzingis, but you like that.
I'll take that.
Right.
But I'm a sucker for stars and freaks.
No, but that's what the league. Tell me the last team.
Well, Kyrie's a star.
No.
And he sucked.
Tell me.
Sucked the life right out of the franchise.
There's only one team in my lifetime that won a title without a superstar. That's the 2004 Detroit Pistons.
Right.
Chauncey Billups, Rip Hamilton, Rasheed Wallace, Ben Wallace, and Tayshaun Prince. That's
it.
A lot
of good players there.
A lot of good players, but none of them. And that is it. They were the outlier. They're the anomaly. They're the aberration. That's what I'm saying. Like, you need stars, and you have to have a coach ultimately that can coach multiple stars and balance that out. So,
and you don't believe Brad Stevens can do that?
No.
You think he needs to go back to college?
Yes, ultimately. I think he will go back to college. I think after this season, it's going to be tough on the Celtics. Here's my prediction is the Celtics this upcoming season is going to be a bad season. I think the Celtics will get bounced in the first round. I think Brad Stevens will go become the coach of the Hoosiers.
I got him in the Eastern Conference Finals.
All right.
I'm a sucker.
Well, you know what? Here's the amazing thing. If Kawhi goes to L.A.,
wide open.
It's wide open.
You really only have to worry about the Greek Freak and the Bucks. Because I'm sorry, the Sixers are still the Sixers to me.
And they might lose Middleton.
Right.
Middleton's a free agent, so they might lose Middleton. And who's their second best player? Malcolm Brogdon? Eric Bledsoe?
Yeah,
they've become a one-man band, so it is what it is. 617-779-7937, getting right to your phone calls. A lot of people want to chime in. Mike in Connecticut's up next. Must be happy. UConn getting the offer to go back to the Big East. Maybe not. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, I don't care about UConn. I grew up a Syracuse fan.
Okay, fair enough.
Real quick, before I get into the Celtics, the whole, like, how people treat Ortiz, we all do it. We're all emotionally attached to these guys. Our favorite guys can essentially do no wrong. I mean, Patriots fans don't care that Tom Brady's friends with Floyd Mayweather and the president. They're willing to overlook that because he's Tom Brady and he's one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, in their opinion, the greatest. We will forgive and forget a lot of stuff for our favorite guys. It's just what we do because we're emotionalist fans. We're not logic. With regards to the Celtics, I find it funny here that people ignore the fact that the Golden State Warriors, outside of Kevin Durant, built from within. They drafted Curry with number 7, and they got criticized for it. They drafted Klay Thompson at 16. He wasn't supposed to come in and be Klay Thompson. Draymond Green was a second-round pick. They weren't, like, they got killed in the media for drafting these guys because Curry was injury-prone. They wanted to trade him. There was talks about trading him to the Celtics for Ray Allen and Rondo because they weren't ready. So the Celtics keeping guys that they drafted and trying to build from within, it's not, I don't know why people are getting ready to jump off a bridge for this stuff. It's not like Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown are scrubs.
Right.
It's not like Marcus Smart isn't an all-NBA defensive team member. They can play. So just get guys in here that know their roles. You know, whether or not Kyrie comes back, I'm kind of indifferent about it now. If he does, whatever. If he doesn't, I don't care.
His home's on the market. He can come back.
I know, but I'm just saying, because, like, it's not working out the way that he wants it to. Brooklyn doesn't want him now without Durant. You know, whatever happens, happens. People just need to relax. I mean, so what? You know, Curry and Klay Thompson, all those, they weren't superstars until they became superstars. They weren't drafted into superstardom. People just love to ignore this. Like, Jimmy Butler wasn't a superstar until all of a sudden, you know, like the last 2 years. These guys, you're not instantly drafted to become a superstar. Even some of the guys LeBron, it took LeBron 3 years to make the playoffs in a weak Eastern Conference.
Mike, and what you're saying is that I don't have a problem with that. Be patient. Just be patient, because even though the East would be wide open if Kawhi goes to L.A., Just be patient. And I think you don't want to nix your franchise. And I think the Knicks now have gotten it. They're like, okay, fine. We're not going to go after, Antonio McDyess, Amari Stoudemire, Carmelo Anthony. For the Celtics, I think Clint Capella would be great here. I know it's not going to sell tickets at North Station, but you've got a nucleus, build around Tatum, Brown, Marcus Smart, get a Clint Capella, maybe Bradley Beal, but don't give up the farm for Bradley freaking Beal.
The problem is, that would have been a fine theory 2 years ago. But you got Al Horford, and you got Kyrie Irving.
And
you
Hayward,
were building a Hayward certain
too.
Type of team.
Hayward,
right?
Too.
Now it feels like a step back. If you had just developed and said, nope, we're going to draft, we're going to pick number three overall, we're going to pick number three overall, we're going to develop these guys because we believe they are future superstars. It may take 3 years, it may take 4 years. But you didn't do that. You were building those guys up while acquiring a superstar point guard, while signing a max contract all-star from the Western Conference. So it feels right now like you took a step back from your own success plan. And I continue to say, everybody thought it was a great plan. Everybody thought the Celtics were set up for a decade.
And the one thing I will say, and in hindsight, obviously Danny Ainge not wanting to trade and part with Jaylen Brown for Kawhi Leonard was a bad move. It was stupid. We know that. But you were coming off Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals. Kawhi had only played 9 games that year. You're probably going to get him for a 1-year rental, which in hindsight, yeah, it worked out for Toronto, but there were no guarantees. And yes.
Would you have wanted Kawhi?
Yeah, for 1 year, yes.
Because I see,
yes,
now
I
would say that.
Right.
Then I would not have.
That's what I'm saying.
Toxic.
So in the moment,
way he walked out
moment.
On the Spurs and
yeah.
those, remember
there's
the Popovich?
Kawhi Leonard.
Remember the comments where they'd ask him about...
You're talking about Kawhi Leonard?
Yes. And remember when they'd ask Popovich, he'd be like, I don't know, you have to ask his people. Because he was just away working out with his own
and therapist.
And then
his uncle Dennis was speaking
yes.
for him.
Like, I would have wanted...
Kawhi Leonard.
No
Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah, right? not Kawhi.
But Kyrie and Kawhi did the same thing. They shot their way out of a city. Kawhi landed in a city and won a title and took
he's,
a team.
And now he's the now forever right. he's the mayor of Toronto.
Right.
Forever.
Whereas
of Canada, maybe.
Kyrie shot his way out of Cleveland, wanted his team, got his team, and ran his team into the dirt
yep.
as quickly as could possibly be. And he is now somewhat toxic to the point where his supposed destination, the Nets, are like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I thought KD and Kyrie was a plan.
Right.
If it's just Kyrie, I'm not so sure we're in.
No.
And I find that as interesting as any part of this whole story.
617-779-7937. You want to chime in on the Celtics, the David Ortiz situation. CJ in New Hampshire's up next. Oh, by the way, breaking news. Mr. Lindsey Vonn, PK Subban, has been traded from Nashville to the New Jersey Devils. Go ahead,
oh, New
CJ.
New Jersey.
Yeah, New
interesting.
Jersey. Interesting. Yeah. What's up, CJ? CJ.
CJ.
Going once, going twice.
DJ. BJ.
God. CJ, okay. Yeah, pay attention. John in Maine's up next. Hey, John.
I bet that was your fault.
No, I don't think so. Go ahead, John.
Hey, Mark. Hey, Andy. So I think that last caller was right. We are emotional fans. I mean, the whole idea of going to a sports game and rooting for your team is to get crazy, have fun, and lose your mind.
Yep.
It's not, you know, get together and quietly unlock the secrets of the universe or anything. So,
let me just
you know,
cut in real quick. I just want to bring up Manny Ramirez to me is the perfect example of that. I think every person at Fenway Park for like a decade knew Manny Ramirez was kind of a dink and would do crazy things.
Yeah.
And they didn't care because he know. Hit 35 home runs and drove in a .120
yeah.
and hit .320.
Yeah.
Right?
That's it. For Manny being Manny.
Basically,
right.
the entirety of his contract, he was a dink and no one cared till the end.
Yeah.
He was really good.
Pushing a travel secretary was even
yeah.
sort of, yeah. It was even sort of like, you know, is what it is. John, your thoughts on the David Ortiz situation?
I going off that, Manny was that way, and, he, and like the way he played outfield was ridiculous sometimes. But yeah, I can't lose any respect for David Ortiz. I was 21 when they won that World Series, and the attitude that surrounded the team before they won was just complete negativity. It was the curse of the Bambino, the 86 World Series, and his clutch hitting and Schilling and Martinez pitching is what changed the attitude. And, you know, everybody was loving the Red Sox. They were selling out every game. There was Red Sox Nation all over the country. And it was great for a while.
Yeah, but John, do you believe that Ortiz was the intended target?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah. I haven't heard anyone who says otherwise. That's the thing.
And you can believe that and still love David Ortiz.
Sure.
And you can find out, okay, he's got a girlfriend in the Dominican, and the girlfriend is also the girlfriend of a drug lord.
Right.
And he had a buddy from the Dominican who may be investigated by the FBI. You can find all these things out. and still love David Ortiz.
Absolutely.
Right? Because I do. Because I love him for what he did on the field. And I'll be honest with you, we also need to include the my effing city. Right?
Yeah.
That was a part of this, you know, as somebody that ran that marathon for the bombing, like, that mattered.
You read the 2013 marathon?
Yes.
You ran that?
Yes.
Did you really?
Got stopped a little less than a mile shy of the finish line when the bombs went off.
No kidding.
And I can tell you, as a father whose kids were at the finish line, that mattered to people. Like, the way Ortiz said that.
Your kids were at the finish line, too?
Yeah.
Wow.
People embraced him. And I think he brought a reinvigorated strength to people that is part of this.
And how about this? The FCC allowed it.
Right.
The FCC said, that's okay.
Right. So that's a part of the whole love of David Ortiz. It's not just the smile, the home runs, the clutch.
Right.
He crossed another line there in that whole tragedy.
Yeah.
And it's okay to look past some of the faults, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, it's fine. No,
what did he really do? Right. You know, other than wife. Like, that's between her and him, whatever their relationship is. Like,
and
he didn't murder anybody. He didn't rape anybody.
He's never been arrested.
Right.
No,
like,
he's a good guy.
He's a human being.
Right.
That's what he is. He made some mistakes or has questionable connections, just like we all have.
I just want truth and justice, and I want whoever is
But what if Ortiz doesn't want truth and justice? What if he's okay and is on board and part of this whole, let's just say it was somebody else and let me keep my reputation or whatever. Is that okay with you?
No.
No,
I just want to find out. Listen.
Well, you're never going to find out the truth.
David,
the whole truth will never come out. You may get splinters of it via social media like we already have.
Right.
Anybody who wants to can find lots of information
Daily
on
Mail.
Online.
Daily Mail, there's no doubt. 617-779-7937. We'll continue on this. Also, somebody who I really respect who played quarterback in the NFL, and I like him as he's really good on the air, but man, he lost a lot of respect, probably not only from me, from everybody throughout New England, with something that he knew would just draw a lot of attention. We will get to that. The Nick Caserio thing, Big Poppy, the Celtics, because listen, the draft's over, but now it's like, what's next? What are the Celtics going to do 1 week from tonight at 6 o'clock? What should they do? And you heard there, and we said again, how did everything get so great to now this team was trending like Apple, and now they're trending like Blockbuster Video? 617-779.
Little dramatic.
7937. Well, we're Sports Talk Radio. Mark and Hart live from Fenway Park here on WEI.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Right back to James and Hart on Sports Radio WEEI.
Hey, guys. Hey, Mock and Hot. What do you think of that?
Mock and Hot.
That's not bad.
Ooh, that's not bad.
Especially for Boston.
Mark and Hart.
That's good.
Because you got the Boston.
Mock and Hot.
617-779-7937. Come to you live from Fenway Park, the WEEI 4 Clubhouse Studio. Getting you ready for Red Sox pregame, which starts coming up after 3 o'clock, Will Fleming on the WEEI Shaws and Star Market Red Sox Radio Network. You just enjoyed a nice little bagel. We're getting ready. Show's flying by. Taking your phone calls, 617-779-7937. CJ in New Hampshire. He's actually, we got him this time. Go ahead, CJ.
Hey, guys. Thanks. Sorry, my phone was on mute before. I could hear you. So, I think that the Attorney General of the DR is just trying to downplay this by saying, if you look at the articles and other, of course. And I think that it's coming down to like an economic decision. You know, him saying that, it was a mistaken identity. That's like saying, do you know what? The officiating in the cup was spot on. It's BS.
That's why right now, CJ, OJ, who just a week ago at this very moment launched his new Twitter handle, The Real OJ32, him saying, you know what? Ronald Goldman and Nicole Brown Simpson were they were not the intended targets.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Who would believe that?
Like, come on, really?
Right.
And I think that it's coming down to just like maybe the officiating in the cup was like, hey, do you know what? Let's try to stretch this out as long as we can because we're talking about millions upon millions of advertising. It's an economic decision. I honestly feel that that had a play in maybe what was going on behind closed doors. in quiet discussions. And with this, with the attorney general saying, oh, it's mistaken. And then he also is like, oh, no, this is normal. Like, these murders, it's nothing new for the DR. It's normal.
Well, that's the scary part, CJ. Right. I think it is.
Well, they're DR is scrambling.
It may be,
right,
but like, what, Ortiz? Like, I mean,
right,
come on,
right. Like, I know.
He's loved there as he is there. Maybe more, because, hey, you're a guy that got out. You're the guy that made a name. You're the guy that, you know, did this and this and this and this. We love him here. He's loved there. There's no way it's mistaken.
No and way.
It's just like, hey, do you know what? You can't tell me right now that going to the DR is on the top of your vacation destination.
Absolutely not. No.
Because deals, though, I'm like, sure. If that's going to happen to a celebrity, to someone who's loved, what's going to happen to some normal person that's just like, oh, do you know what? You are way more expendable than this person.
Yeah.
And then you mix it in with the issues they're having on all the resorts with the alcohol and the people just having respiratory failure.
Sure.
I can tell you, I was just in the Dominican, whatever it was, 3 weeks ago now. Oh. I will not be going back.
No?
No. And I wouldn't. I probably.
Did you ever fear for your life when you were there?
No. Not
okay.
once.
Okay.
But had I heard all these issues.
You would not have gone.
I probably would have been. Now, I'm cheap, so I had probably already paid for it. I probably would have.
Right. You're like, listen, if I die, I'm going to go out and get you.
Exactly.
Gonna,
but
you know, I'm going to get my money's worth.
It's probably not a return trip. I mean,
right.
There's enough other islands and beaches and nice water down there where you can pick. The irony is my wife picked DR because she thought Mexico was too dangerous. And now, where the hell do you go?
Right.
I can't go to Mexico.
Yeah.
Or Florida, I guess. And then
Florida's dangerous, too.
It stinks. It smells funny. I hate Florida.
No, I love Florida, but there's parts of it like Jackson Hell I do not like.
Oh, Jesus, you have a nickname for Jacksonville?
Oh, I have to.
I agree with you on that one. It was a terrible Super Bowl.
That was my first Radio Row Super Bowl.
Oh, it was terrible.
I know. Oh, the media. Terrible. I remember Bob Ryan and Skip Bayless eviscerated that city for not having enough hotels.
Hotels? They didn't have enough food. They ran out of food at the Super Bowl in like the second quarter or something.
Oh,
their concessions ran out at the Super Bowl.
The one thing I remember is just being in the press box in the fourth quarter, Peter King and Rick Riley from Sports Illustrated, how long ago it was, them saying, like, when Donovan McNabb was taking his time after he threw up on the field, like, why is he, like, not going quicker? Why is he taking his time? The clock is running out on them. And it was like, well,
awful.
That's the reason why Philly was Philly until Nick Foles came around. Al in a car, you're up next. What's up, Al?
Hi, guys. How are you today?
Good, Al.
Great.
Good. I want to tell you, the show is pretty good. I've been listening to the station since Dale Arnold and Andy Andelman. And I enjoy the show. Anyway,
all right,
I'm a retired college basketball coach. What do you think about this? Dale Arnold. If the Celtics tried to go out and get Chris Middleton, okay, two things are going to happen. If they get him, he's a great player. And if they bump up his price, it's going to hurt Milwaukee. Yes or no?
Yes, it will.
It will.
But
what did he just turn down?
It was like $20-something million.
So he's looking for big money.
And he's gonna get it.
But I'm not giving him, like, is he the final piece? To me, he's a piece guy.
Right.
If you thought you were a veteran shooter away, I'd go all in. Are you a veteran shooter away?
No.
Like,
I don't know
if there's any validity to your stupid Porzingis idea. I shouldn't call it stupid. That was mean. I take that back.
No,
that was harsh.
But I would love it. Like, he would, and you know what? He would love Boston.
And he's a young, prime of his career, potential Boston superstar who's a freakish talent, unique, all those things.
Yes.
Whereas Middleton is a good player on the right team, a really good player.
Also found out that when your second best player was Chris Middleton, how far they were away from winning it. Let me tell you something. Golden State would have beaten Milwaukee.
Yes.
They would have beaten.
I would agree.
Even without Durant.
I would agree.
Even without Durant.
And I grew to hate the freak as I watched the series with the Celtics.
He annoys me. My two things for next Sunday night are Kristaps Porzingis and can they make a trade for Clint Capella?
Both?
Yeah. Yeah, I'd like to get both. I mean, what has been the Celtics' problem going
back? So you're clearly not comfortable with the youth movement, saying Brown and Tatum are the future.
But here's the thing, Kristaps is young!
No, I know, but you're not comfortable saying these guys are going to be superstars, so I don't need to get a superstar.
Get rid of Jalen Brown.
Because if you sign Porzingis, that's a max deal that you believe he's going to be a superstar.
Yes.
And I think he can be, too. I think he's a freakish, unique talent.
And Clint Capella is a guy because this team, going back to the end of the Doc Rivers era and the beginning of the Brad Stevens era, with Jay Crowder, and like you always get out-rebounded. You need Clint Capella. Who's going to guard the Greek Freak and Pascal Siakam? Clint Capella. He's one of the best rebounders in the NBA, and he's a defensive stalwart. I want Clint Capella as a Celtic. I know the guy that you need to get you to be a contender in the Eastern Conference again. We'll talk more about this and the fact that somebody ranked Tom Brady not one, not two,
yeah,
not LeBron, three,
not three,
not four,
not four,
not five, not six, not seven, not eight, but the ninth best quarterback in the NFL.
Stupid.
We'll get to that. Mark and Hart live from Fenway Park here on WEI 617-779-7937.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.